Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to On The Mic. My name is Mike Goldman, and on today's show, if you are into motivation porn, you have come to the right place, my friends. You know, the kind of people you see on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere saying, hey, if you want to make $1 million right now by working one day a week, well, those people are full of crap. This guy's the real deal. He's got 17 bestseller books. He's got a business with about 1,000 staff all over the world called Action Coach, and they don't just coach people, they coach businesses to do well. I don't know how many countries it's in. It's in a lot. But we talked to Brad Sugars about that. He's living in Vegas, got to stay with him a couple of days on my way to Area 51. You know the Facebook group, Let's See Them Aliens, Storm Area 51? Well, I went to Area 51 and I stormed the place. That's another episode which you can listen to or you can watch on my YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram at Mike Goldman Live. Check that out. And you know what? I really love it if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes. I know it's probably your first time listening to this and you're going, why am I going to give you a review? Because, you know, I just appreciate it. It gives me tingles. It makes me happy. If you want to make people happy in the planet, you're making one person happy, that's me. Okay, so before Brad Sugars, I just want to tell you about a couple of quick things. They're not sponsors, don't worry. I am holding a film festival. Yeah, I started a film festival about 5 years ago at Sanctuary Cove, which is on the Gold Coast. And the year I started it, I played a feature film that I made called Shooting Goldman, which you can watch online. It looks like a reality TV movie, but it turns out I start murdering people. It's a fiction film worth watching. And anyway, so we started the film festival with that about 5 years ago at my mate Matt Hollywood's theatre at Sanctuary Cove, where he does magic shows every Friday and Saturday. And it went really well. So we did it for the next 5 years and it was huge. So this year it's on November 23rd, Saturday night. And the first five people to Instagram me, let's say Instagram, at Mike Goldman Live, will get themselves a double pass to come to the big Saturday night short film festival. And those tickets are $120 each. It includes food and alcohol. Plus, you get to meet Tamin Sursok from Home and Away and Pretty Little Liars with Nicole Kidman. Wayne Blair. Now, Wayne is one of the best directors in Australia. He made Top End Wedding. Brilliant film. Also, The Sapphires. He was on Redfern Now. I think he directed a few episodes as well. Clever man. Won so many awards. And he's just an awesome dude. And I'm so happy that he's coming along to the festival. He's going to be running a little panel as well for filmmakers. We also have Glenn Condy, who's a mate of mine forever, who actually made a lot of short films, a lot of features. He made Top End Wedding as well with Wayne Blair, and he's just a cool dude. He's going to get on one of the panels too. He'll be there. Who else am I forgetting? Oh, yeah. Dan Ewing is going to be at the Sanctuary Cove Film Festival from The Occupation and Home and Away, and he's also landed himself a role in a blockbuster US series called Monster Problems. This is Marvel's latest franchise, and he is just over the moon to be a part of that. So it'd be really good to have him along at the festival. So sanctuaryfilmfestival.com if you want to find out the info and if you have a film that you'd like to enter into the competition as well. There's still some time to do that. sanctuaryfilmfestival.com. And one more tiny teensy little thing that I would like to tell you about is Big Brother. Yeah. I like to avoid it because everyone asks me about it everywhere I go. It's been going on for, oh God, 19 years of my life now. And just recently, I did a few stories talking about Big Brother and the house being burnt down and people going into the dilapidated Big Brother house and filming it and getting millions of views and put it on the news. A couple of guys who have a podcast called the Phone Hacks Podcast had me on the show and pretended that I was living in the Big Brother house. They hacked my phone and wrote on my Twitter that I was homeless and living in the Big Brother house. I got calls from friends and family about that. Anyway, there's been a lot of talk in the media about the show, so I guess that made TV networks decide, hey, a lot of people are still talking about this show. Why don't we give it a run? So Channel 7 are announcing very shortly, apparently. I don't think the deal's 100% done. Apparently that the show is coming back, so that's exciting. But just to pump up the crowd a little bit more and pump up the volume, Endemol Shine, who's the company that own the rights to Big Brother and are producing it here in Australia, if it does go ahead, are doing auditions. So if you think you've got what it takes to be in the next series of Big Brother, pull your finger out, Google Big Brother Australia auditions and have a crack, why don't you? Just be yourself. I have a feeling they're not looking for the next big Instagrammers or Facebookers or YouTubers, just people who are general everyday people. Be honest, see what happens. Hopefully you get on because it's the best show in the universe and I love it and it'll be great if it comes back. Even if I don't end up working on it and I don't even know if I am. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to On The Mic, the one, the only, the legendary, Bradley J. Sugars. Hey, welcome to the show. Today, one of Australia's most amazing businessmen who lives in the USA, but he's probably an American citizen now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brad Sugars.
Thank you, buddy. I am an Oz American now. I'm a dual citizen. So.
An Oz Yankee. What the hell is an Aussie businessman doing living in Las Vegas, living the dream?
You know, look, I moved to America for business because, I mean, if you can do business internationally, it's damn hard from Australia. Mm. You got to travel everywhere. So I moved to America and, married a girl from Boston. So now we live here in Vegas, the only city in America fun enough for an Australian.
Is it fun enough or is it because there's amazing tax breaks here?
Well, the tax definitely
helps. The show's every night, though.
Yeah, but, you know, you look at it, the tax is only state tax. America has a different tax system to Australia where you have federal and state. Mm. And, like, California charges you another 14% just to live in California. That'd be like if New South Wales said you want to pay 14% extra just to live in Sydney.
They should do that in Australia, though, because we don't have that system where if people live in the country or areas that aren't as populated, they pay less tax. But we're talking about tax at the start of the show. This is not a show about tax.
Yeah. But, you know, why move here? Yeah, it's definitely fun. I mean, every night there's shows, there's everything. You know, if where we live here in Summerlin, we're literally 10 minutes from the best desert hiking. Mm. In the winter, we're 45 minutes up to the ski field, the snow skiing. People are like, you get snow in Vegas? Yeah, it's the middle of the desert, you know, up in the mountains. And then 45 minutes the other way, we're out on Lake Mead in the summer on the boat. So
it's only 10 minutes away from my money in Las Vegas here. I think I'll visit that as well. I'm sure that's what a lot of people do.
We build these billion-dollar buildings so you can win.
Yeah, exactly.
Just doesn't happen that way.
But when people do win, they put a big picture of them on the front. Oh, that could be me.
Yeah. You know, most people don't come to Vegas anymore for the gambling. Gambling's a little bit of it, but the clubs, the shows, the concerts, now even the sport, you know, we got professional hockey, baseball, women's professional basketball. The Raiders start here next year. So.
All the big boxing events are here as well. Yeah, I can't believe the Raiders are moving from Oakland to Las Vegas. I just found that out.
We gave them about $700 million towards the $700 million towards the $2 billion stadium. So, you know, 65,000 seat stadium adds value to a city. So, of course, the city's going to.
And we were at a concert last night, the iHeart Radio concert, and we got to see Miley Cyrus, the Zac Brown Band, which you loved. Who else was playing?
Chance the Rapper, Alicia Keys,
Marshmello.
You know, and as I said to you last night, this is just a typical Saturday night in Vegas. And people think I'm crazy, but no, in the last month I've been to Eric Clapton, Elton John, Paul McCartney, you know, boxing, you name it, it's here.
And what's the best show you've been to lately?
Either Elton or Paul McCartney, I would say.
Elton's amazing. You seen the new movie?
Yeah, we watched the movie before the show just to
refresh
recontextualize. That's my third time I've seen him here.
Yeah.
He did one with Billy Joel here years ago, and then he did his Million Dollar Piano tour. And, you know, but he had a Vegas residency, and people are like, "You have a residency?" Yeah, I mean, then the night before Backstreet Boys played, they had a residency here. They, I mean, it's so much fun. This is a great city to live in, and I think we're very spoiled because, you know, we've got a whole bunch of Michelin-rated restaurants downtown.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, you've got people sort of sitting there saying, well, the hospitality industry in our city is at such a high level that even the suburban restaurants are amazing.
Mm. Yeah, what's your favorite restaurant around here? There's so many.
Oh, around here?
Because you're a little bit out of town. Yeah. But in Vegas, I mean, you've got like Gordon Ramsay, some of the best chefs in the world.
Yeah, Gordon's restaurant's okay.
Okay.
You know, it's just okay. I mean, you got to understand, if you go to the top end of town, you got Jean Robuchon, three-star Michelin, you got Le Cirque, you've got these amazing French restaurants that are just spectacular.
See, I'm so trashy, I just go straight for the MasterChef dude.
Yeah. You know, but then you got such sushi masters. Yeah. You've got two Nobu restaurants. Yeah, I mean, it's... We're very, very spoiled for choice.
That's
here.
Pretty cool.
You got all of the best chefs in the world, the best chefs from around the world. Vegas brings them here and does that. I mean,
Vegas doesn't have a big population either, does it? It's something like
about 2.5 million.
2.5 million.
Yeah, the greater.
I Wikipedia'd it before, and I said,
"Yeah,
50,
but see, America, they don't do greater city when they show population
right,
base.
Okay,
they
yeah.
show the actual city.
Greater
Las Vegas is about 2.5 million, and about 4,000 people a month move to this city, mostly Californians trying to escape the taxes and the high cost of real estate, or the Northeasters trying to get out of the weather. My in-laws just moved here from Massachusetts.
Yeah, they're like, a few doors down. How are you handling that?
Oh, mate, it's great. Having grandma and grandpa down the road, the kids love it. When you got five kids, having grandparents around is a pretty damn cool thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're a Brisbane boy come good, moved to America, and you don't spend all of your time here in Las Vegas because you're constantly traveling. You've got how many staff? Thousands of staff all over the world with your very successful business, Action Coach, that coaches other businesses.
Yeah, well, Action Coach has now got over 1,000 offices in 80-odd countries.
Wow.
We just opened in Russia, which is very cool to be coaching business owners in Russia. Yeah, and it's, you know, we coach all through the Middle East. We coach everywhere in the world, and I think that's a lot of fun. We started in Brizzy, Australia, back when Quest Community Newspapers and my good mate who's passed now, Barry Gordon, started putting me up on stage doing seminars around. I remember doing one in the Brisbane City Town Hall to 1,700 people back then. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. I do a lot less seminars now.
You just write books. You go, how many books? You got like 9 books out?
Number 17 just got released.
17!
17 just went Wall Street bestseller,
wow,
Amazon Publishers Weekly, all that.
That's amazing. What's the latest one about?
It's called Pulling Profits Out of a Hat. It's about how to have exponential business growth. So some businesses grow and then plateau or grow and dip and that sort of thing. This is about how to have continuous, never-ending growth and what are the disciplines that it takes to do that. So, you know, we're pretty lucky. We have 18,000 clients that we work with every single week around the world, and it's about 380,000 in our group programs every month. And so we test everything on them, and then we put it in the book, sort of thing. And once we've proven it, then we use it in the book.
So there's lots of similarities between, say, someone in Australia running a business and someone in Russia and someone in America. So it's
The basics are the same. Australia, you know, as much as I love my home country, Australia is much harder to be successful in business than most places. The tax system is ridiculous.
Oh, we get taxed a lot. One of the highest, most taxed countries in the world.
Well, the French and the Belgians wouldn't agree with that, but you know, it's like the understanding that Australia, the cost of living in Australia is beyond crazy right now. The minimum wage, like when I tell people here in America, Australia's minimum wage is, what is it now, $26 or some stupid number?
Yep.
And they say, how? Because here it's $8.25, you know, and you sit down and you can run a business and you can have all of that sort of stuff. But the cost of living, people don't get it. The cost of living here in America is so much less than in Australia. It's not funny. Everything's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
Cars, there's no real crazy taxes on that sort of stuff. But even, you know, I tell people in America that in Australia you have to give people 4 weeks vacation every year and you got to pay them 17.5%. And you say leave loading and they look at you and go, what the heck is leave loading? Yeah. Well, that's where you actually have to pay them more when they don't work. It's fantastic.
The Americans work really hard. Like Bianca, my missus, is working here for Netflix at the moment on a TV show. and they are getting there early in the morning, mm-hmm. working till late at night. Late at night on Fridays, they don't even go up for work drinks like we do in Australia.
No.
We have it so much easier. But a lot of people will probably say to you in that aspect that there's the gap is widening between the rich and the poor. And people in America go, oh, good on you, Australia. Like, well done. You're looking after the workers. Are they screwing the workers in America?
I don't think the gap is any different in Australia than it is in America. Mm. I mean, let's look at the cost of housing in Australia and all of those sorts of things. Cost of housing here is so much easier and someone can get a house for much cheaper. But, you know, that all being said, every country in the world has its advantages and disadvantages. I mean, the fact that I get to travel a lot and, you know, through everywhere basically, and the cost of living in Japan is crazy high too. But everyone has a different thing. And the thing is, and I still have my house on Hamilton Island in Australia, and there's no way you can ever change or not love the Australian way. I mean, it is just so...
How good is Hamilton Island? Yacht Week.
Oh, Hamo.
So much fun.
Listen, I've had a house on Hamo for now almost 20 years, and I can't help but love the joint.
Have you ever been
the
Oatley's
done
race?
Phenomenal. Yeah. Because my house is on the water, right, so it's like we're there. We have the yachts right in front of us every day.
Because when they it's like one of the world's biggest yacht races there at Hamilton Island, but... They'll yell out, anyone want to come for a ride? Anyone, like, for the race.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I went, yeah, shit, yeah, I'll go out there for the race. And this guy get a bit seasick. I said, is it rough out there? And they go, no, it's one of the calmest days we've had. Bullshit.
Yeah.
It was the roughest day they've had. And this skipper just started yelling at me. He's like, pull the rope, get on that side of the boat. And I was all nervous. I didn't know what to do. So I've gone and pulled the rope. I have no understanding of sailing whatsoever. I'm pulling the rope and... He didn't tell me to let go. And we've done the tacking thing and the sail's gone like that. The rope has just whizzed through my fingers and I've looked down at my melting hands in pain and the skipper's just looked at me and gone, full-fingered gloves, like I'm supposed to know. Yeah. I'm a punter standing on the shore. But anyway, that was the winning boat. Actually, that story goes a bit further because he was some rich dude who owned the boat. I can't remember who it was, but he hired professional sailors from overseas. And they had to leave straight after the race to get on a plane to go back to England or wherever they were from. And he said, we've got no one to accept the trophy. So I actually went to the award ceremony and accepted 10 gold medals and a big trophy and told that speech to everyone. And no one laughed. They just looked at me like, who the fuck is this guy?
So, you know, Hamo is just one of those places. And the Oatleys have done a phenomenal job of rebuilding the island. Unfortunately, we all had to rebuild when we got... big hit, and but you know, I still can't believe, and when the kids come down there, they just love it because, you know, we just wander around to the store and drive the golf carts everywhere, and it's very relaxing. I think people love Hamilton Island. So
yeah, it's awesome. Hey, gotta ask you a question. How the hell do you pull profits out of a hat? Your new book. Tell me how to do that trick.
You know, it's interesting because the reason I came up with that was I was sitting with a buddy of mine and he said, it's just magic the way these, like he's looking at companies like IKEA and Amazon. It must be just like magic the way they keep making more money. I'm like, you can't be serious. And so that's where we studied the disciplines of those sort of companies that grow like that. And they've got the right strategy. They've got the right business development. The people strategy is strong, execution strong, and their mission is strong. And in this day and age, you know, we see these conversations about millennials, right? And it's like the millennials are the worst and laziest generation. Well, you know, so were the people who grew up in the 60s. So was my generation. You know, we were the worst generation ever. And every generation is the worst generation, the one two apart from it or two above or two before.
Like I wasn't allowed to play video games when I was a kid. And now you can actually make a living out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And win millions.
Oh, I got two buddies that own the biggest gaming place down here where they come and play all the esports. And it's like... esports. It's not esports, but then...
You're sitting on your ass, moving your thumbs really fast. How is that exercise? I mean, unless you're on thumb steroids.
Again, there's a ton of money in it. Now they're working out how they can have people bet on each kid that's playing the game. So,
what?
Oh, yeah. So one kid playing Halo against another kid, that's how old I am. I only remember Halo.
You can bet on it, but a kid could just go, let myself get shot, and all of a sudden you can read the game.
That I doubt was going to happen. There's too much prize money on it to let yourself lose.
That's true.
But, you know, the way the world is moving, back to the point, the disciplines are the core behind actual success of business. And, you know, we work with the CEOs of the biggest companies, the smallest businesses, the startups and all that stuff. And if they don't get the core right, it's very hard to succeed.
Yeah, wow. So bestseller book, This is not your first bestseller, though, is it?
No, no. We've had others that have been bestsellers and all that stuff. The one before it, The Wealth Coach, actually was an ebook bestseller, which is kind of cool. And Buying Customers, that was also a bestseller. And yeah, I like that The Wealth Coach is because I wrote that for parents to be able to teach their kids money. And funnily enough, I gave it to a buddy of mine beforehand. I said, read this and tell me if you think it'll be good for your kids. And he read it and goes, Brad, you need to rewrite this book. I said, why is that? He said, because my kids will get it, but I didn't know all this stuff either. How can I teach it to them if I don't know it? So you need to rewrite it so parents can learn as well as the kids. And so
what's the biggest mistake people make when it comes to money?
Oh, dang. One? Only one mistake?
No, they make a lot of mistakes.
You know, look, I think the simplest thing is they don't invest. That's the simple. And people think you got to have a lot of money to invest. And the habit of investing is more important than the amount you invest. The habit is what forms and gradually the amount gets bigger. You know, I've always been a fan of real estate. I wrote a book on how to invest in real estate, but people don't even get it. Even the people teaching real estate investing don't get it. The core of real estate and why real estate is a great investment is you only ever pay for 20% of it. You only ever put down the 20% deposit. You have a tenant who pays the mortgage for you. People say, oh, they pay the rent. No, no, no. They don't pay the rent. They pay the mortgage on your behalf. So you buy a house 20 years from now, the mortgage is fully paid off. Now, if it went up or down in value, people are like, oh, I don't know if it'll go up in value. I don't care.
You still own it.
I own it outright, and all I ever did was put 20% of it down.
Yeah, right.
So if you want to retire in 20 years and you've got 20% of what you need for retirement, you buy a house today, you put the 20% down, over 20 years, your tenants pay it off, and hey, presto, you've got this asset that's fully paid off. Now, if it went up in value, bonus, cool, that's even better. But the fact that someone else pays it off for you, so...
You just got to research and find the best place where you can actually... Yeah, get the rent return
as
back
long as you're getting
that pays
rent
off the loan.
Yeah, as long as you're getting rent to pay off the loan, everything's good. But I think probably if you go back
so
to your
low.
Question, actually to answer your question properly, the biggest mistake people make with money is they don't learn it. They don't learn money. You know, and
how
if
do you learn money.
Well, you read about it, you study it, you
read your books.
Yeah, read
17
my books,
of them.
You know, but not just mine, anybody's. You know, when I sat down and my friends Sharon Lechner and Robert Kiyosaki wrote the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, the biggest seller in history of nonfiction books. And
oh, Sharon wrote that with him. I thought he just wrote it.
No, Sharon wrote it. Oh. Robert. Sharon is the greatest author there is. And when Robert first brought his board game to Sharon and Michael, Michael's Sharon's husband, he was a patent attorney. And he's now retired and living on their ranch in Arizona. But they're such great, wonderful people. But Sharon's written more books like Think and Grow Rich for Women. She's written a whole bunch.
He made a board game and then she turned it into a book for him.
Yeah, well, she wrote the book as a brochure. If you ask Sharon, she'll tell you it was actually just meant to be a brochure for the board game.
That's
and
ridiculous.
Then it became the biggest seller. And
now he's traveling the world.
Teaching and stuff,
Teaching about the board game?
He's done a phenomenal job at getting the world to think about financial education. You know, and the lack of financial education, Sharon actually had it made law in their home state of Arizona that kids at school must learn finances. So it's now law. They must be taught financial classes.
We should have that in Australia.
We should have that everywhere. I mean, people sit down and they learn algebra, but they don't learn how to balance a checkbook.
Algebra
messed with my head. Who cares about algebra?
I hated algebra. Who goes to the shops and buys X worth of eggs and Y worth of bananas?
In the days of Google, right? We have to change what we're educating our kids in. We started a foundation a few years ago to educate kids to be employers, not employees. The Action Coach Foundation is designed, we started in the UK, now we're here in the US, it's designed to help young people want to be entrepreneurs rather than get a job. And see, if you look at the history of the way the economies of the world have worked, we had the agrarian age, which of course the British won, they had the most land, they conquered the world, and then in the industrial age, as we moved into that, the US won the first half of the industrial age because they invented everything. They invented steel and electricity and cars and you name it, gas, petrol, you know, America invented it. Then the second half of that was won by the Japanese. They were the best manufacturers on the planet. And then when we went in the information age, it came back to America because America has Hollywood and Silicon Valley. Mm. While the Japanese were making great VCRs, America was making the movies to go in the VCRs or in the DVD players. And now Hollywood and Silicon Valley are two of the biggest parts of the U.S. economy when you understand what it actually does and how it educates the world into that thing. But we sit here today in a world where the economies of the world have shifted to such a degree that we've had to go back into the industrial age for India and China and Africa to move to catch the rest of the world. Mm. So that's where we're making big plays in Africa, big plays in India, big plays in, not so much in China anymore. We've sort of...
Is that with Action Coach or...
Well, with all of our businesses. So all of our companies are moving in that direction because when you sit and you look at India, there's a country with more than half the population is millennial generation. Mm. You know, and we sit down and we say the millennial generation, well, America, the baby boomers sort of have aged out. So the populations have stopped. Australia did the same. China is sort of the same. Japan the same. But India, they just got control of their healthcare system to a point where now that generation will be like the baby boomers of the rest of the world. And
they have healthcare in India?
Massively good. Right. You know, there's an interesting book you could read called Factfulness. Hans Rosling wrote it. And Bill Gates was actually quoted on the cover saying it's probably the most important book you'll read in this decade. Mm. So it goes through where the world is at today. You know, education of women today is the average 30-year-old woman has had 9 years education. Average 30-year-old man's had 10. So we're almost caught up in there. Mm. And female education is massively important to us as a society. Because if they understand and are knowledgeable, they can get better care of their children and that sort of thing. So death rate drops of children, and then the world starts to stabilize. So we're doing a good job as a planet. Factfulness.
Factfulness. That sounds like an interesting one to read.
It's a very good read. And that's, I think that goes back to the thing. All I've ever done different to anybody else is I keep learning and I keep studying. And you know, Jim Rohn taught me when I was 16 years old.
I've watched some of Jim Rohn's videos. He's amazing.
Well, he passed away, unfortunately. But I got to speak with
Mr. Rohn. He was the
Herbalife
guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. He spoke for Herbalife. Mark had him come in and teach everyone at Herbalife. But I spoke with Mr. Rohn. I first went to his seminar in Brisbane City Town Hall. I was 16 years old.
This is one of the best motivational speakers ever.
He was the best philosopher on the subject of success and business there ever was.
Yeah.
You know, and I still remember I opened a speech for him because I took my notes down to him at the end of that speech at 16 years old, and he signed my notes. And I said, Mr. Rohn, what's one thing I can do to guarantee myself to be successful? And he said, son, read a book a week for the rest of your life. And so I've just continued that tradition now thousands later. And now, you know, audiobooks make my life a whole lot easier these days.
Totally.
But I still remember, and I have to give a shout out back to the Rotary Club in Brisbane. I think it's District 963. Who sponsored me when I won the Rotary Youth Leadership Award when I was a kid at Sunnybank High School. And I went away for a week's training on how to be successful and how to be a leader. Yeah. And that definitely changed the course of my life.
Yeah. Well, Jim Rohn started out with Rotary as well because he was working for someone else and just got asked by chance to do a little talk at Rotary and thought, hang on, I can make money out of this.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Rohn was a great educator, but there's so many great educators out there, and that's where the challenge for a lot of people is they don't keep learning. And, you know, for someone like me who, you know, I buy companies and I build them and I sell them. That's what I do on a day-to-day. We just sold one on Friday, one of our property management companies based down in Texas. And you know, I'm super happy about that. I was in it 2 years. We sold out now 2 years later to a firm out of Silicon Valley. And these are the sorts of things I do every day. I buy companies and I like to think, you know, Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc is the greatest example to me of a business person who finds a great business. You know, his movie, The Founder, should have been called The Finder.
Yeah, right.
Because he didn't found McDonald's. Yeah. He came along one day and look at this. The McDonald brothers had a great system and he just said, how do I put this on every street corner in the world? And that's literally what I do today. I find good companies. I found one in Melbourne. Yeah. Great cleaning business down there. Now we're expanding that. We've expanded all across Australia. Now we're going to the UK. Yeah. So
The founder, man, he came off as a bit of a bastard in that movie.
Well, I think they portrayed him very nicely in that movie.
Oh, so he's a lot worse than that.
All the stories of him were that he was a very tough man.
Wow.
Very tough man.
And so, yeah, how many businesses do you actually own? I mean, you're talking like on a small scale.
It was nine. We're now down to eight after Friday. So we have a restaurant down here at the Wynn Casino. We have
Le Carve. Yeah, I've been there.
It's a That's great nice. Little restaurant. We just expanded it, actually made it a bit bigger and stuff. You know, there's so many good businesses to be in, and that's sort of what I love doing. I mean, I love finding great people and help.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Helping them go global in their business. We found young Travis Bell in Australia, who's the bucket list guy, and now I've taught him, and now he's licensing his system all over the world and has bucket list coaches all over the world. Another one down in Melbourne, Australia, Engage and Grow, Rich Maloney, did a phenomenal job at designing an employee engagement program that now we have coaches around the world licensed doing that. I think we're in like 60-something countries doing that. So yeah, that's basically all I do. Find great businesses and take them global.
You've been doing that for a while now, but what's your next big challenge?
I got five kids. I think that's enough of a challenge for life. You know, the baby is only, what's Riley now, 16 months. So yeah, she's our miracle child, that one. So
yeah, no more kids?
No more kids. You know, we weren't planning on kids, and crazy enough, you know, my wife and I unfortunately were here when the Country Music Festival, when everyone, when Route 91.
Yeah, that was messed up. I saw on Facebook that you were there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, messed up would be the That's nicest crazy. Way to put it.
How many people got shot?
Well, a lot of people got shot, and 58 people passed away.
Man.
It was, we're coming up on the second anniversary of it in a few weeks' time. But,
Did you know anyone, or was it?
Oh, yeah. But it was, you know, when you sit and you look back, it was the most horrific moment of our lives. You know, I was held up at gunpoint in Mexico one time, but that was different. It was just me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have my wife there, and I didn't have all my friends around. Yeah. And, you know, where were you
when it happened? Up the front?
We're off to the side, but where we took cover, we were under fire for about 8-9 minutes before we got out. Anyway, enough of that. The reason I bring it up is that we didn't know at the time, but 2 weeks later, I had to take off to England to do some work stuff. And I was happy I did, because I could get out of here and just clear my head and just focus on something else. And my wife went up to Massachusetts, and she's like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm depressed from all this. Maybe it's had a bad impact on me. And she went to the grocery store with her mom and found herself buying apples sauce and Cool Whip or something. And she's like, why am I buying that? Last time I ate this, I was pregnant with the twins.
Oh, pregnant.
Help, pregnant. So, you know, we found a great way to move on from all of the tragedy because we had to move on. We had a beautiful baby that came into the world. And so she's actually became very famous, Riley, because she was the youngest survivor of Route 91.
Oh, yeah.
And funnily enough, the day she was born, our Golden Knights, our hockey team here, was playing in the finals. And the winning goal was scored by Riley Smith, and we didn't have a name for the kid picked out. And my second eldest, Kenzie, texts us all in the group family text and goes, hey, what about Riley as a name for the baby? And everyone was just like, that's kind of a cool name.
That works.
We'll spell it different, but yeah, that's a cool name. And then a few weeks later, my buddy, you know, Penn and Teller, Penn's wife calls me up and goes, get down here. Penn's doing a thing with the Stanley Cup, which is the hockey.
Maggie disappear or something.
And so, oh yeah, they were doing that for a promotion. And literally I took the baby down and sat her in the Stanley Cup. It was like, you're named after a hockey player. Yeah. And the hockey team here actually was the best thing that could have happened for our city, is to help us move on from the attacks and that stuff.
And your priorities change, I guess, after going through something so full on.
Yeah, I think, you know, my wife and I got split up on that night, you know, in the middle of all of the shootings. Man. And I saw her running, and I had to dive for cover because he started shooting again. Because he shot for about 30 seconds, stopped, shot again, stopped, a whole bunch of times. And as she was running, the guy next to her went down He got shot through the leg, and she got out, and I knew she got out, and that's all I was just.
Could have been her, man. But, that's so close. Oh, could have been any of you.
Oh, buddy, it was everywhere. But the thing about it is you don't. I don't know if you change your perspective, but it reminds you of what's really important, not what's sort of important type thing. Mm. You know, growing up in Australia, you are very clearly, and it's such a clear delineation here in America, understanding what's important is not work. You know, in Australia, we build a business so that we can have a life. We don't marry our work. Americans are far more into marrying their work. And Australians are unfortunately moving that way a lot too. Mm. And it's, they're losing the fact that lifestyle is the number one most important thing. But it reminds you of that. And it's one of the reasons why I started selling some companies and spending more time with the family. And now when we go on vacation, we do digital free vacations.
Yeah, you realize what's important.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminds you of that stuff.
Did you read any of the conspiracy theories about the guy that was there and it was all set up?
Or
you just wanted to get as far away from it as possible?
I have a bunch of buddies that were there who got, I mean, they literally got into a negative state because they just sat and watched all the TV stuff. And the sheriff at the time, he's a great man, and he just stood up when he was asked the question, why did he do it? And he said, if you try to get into the mind of a psychopath, the only thing that happens is you go crazy.
Yeah.
You will never know why. And for anyone to try and understand why, you know, that's just silly. Mm. And I think that, you know, as human beings, we're naturally drawn to a negative. You know, you're driving down the highway, there's an amazing sunset. No one slows down to look at the sunset. But if there's a car crash, everyone slows down to look at it sort of thing.
It slows the traffic.
You know, it's and unfortunately, Australians are brought up with the tall poppy syndrome. Mm. You know, our convict roots definitely come back to us in that way. You know, the difference, one of the reasons that I moved here to America is, I remember this vividly. I was driving in Australia, I had a beautiful bright yellow Lamborghini Gallardo, and I'm driving down the street, and there's, pull up a set of lights, there's a guy walking across the street, looks at the car, he doesn't know me from bar of soap, and he's looking at me and goes, you wanker! And I'm like, what the, you know, and then here in the States, I have a beautiful Rolls Royce, the drophead coupe is the first one that they bought to Las Vegas, so that Rolls Royce blew the Phantom, and it was a beautiful, beautiful car. I'm driving down the street and these two young guys pull over in their car next to me at the set of lights and they put their window down, a little Honda CRV, and they lean out and they go, hey, buddy, great car, well done. Mm. That differentiation in mentality is what I see. I live here in a city where there's several billionaires and no one attacks them for what they do. It's not, the newspapers are different. The way of the media is different. It's not that whole let's attack everyone philosophy. It's let's build them up. Let's tell the world that, hey, these people employ hundreds of thousands of people. We should celebrate them, not beat them up.
Is that one of the reasons why it's easier to make it in America? Because we have such a tall poppy syndrome in Australia?
Oh, look, I think that that's part of it. You know, in Australia, I've seen it many times, people who are very successful and they don't get celebrated for their success. In fact, many of them hide their success because they don't want to get people getting all jealous about it and stuff. You know, I love Australia for so many reasons, but that part there really, it's really hard because I'm trying to teach people how to be successful. And, you know, we take a lot of young people who want to be successful. And then when they do, people are like, oh yeah, it's easy for you. You're the lucky one, that type of thing.
It takes a lot of work.
And, you know, it took 20 years to become an overnight success. I mean, that's the sort of thing. I didn't get, my first books were bestsellers in Australia and New Zealand, but not over here in the States, not in the UK and that sort of thing. I mean, it comes off that I think I'm being tough on Australia and I do need to be tough on it in certain ways.
Yeah.
But flip it over, you know, living in LA, just how much opportunity there is in this country to be a success.
So much more opportunity here.
But it's not just that there's more, it's that they want you to be a success.
Yeah.
The desire for you to be a success here is so vast.
Mm.
And there are certain pockets, and I know within Australia, there's certain pockets where there's so many people that want people to be successful. And that's phenomenal. I think the attitude is getting better and better to success. And I see it different in different cities. You know, in Sydney, success is celebrated a lot more than it is up in my hometown of Brizzy.
Even friends, they're like, I'll tell someone, oh, I'm hosting this event in LA. They're like, oh, really? Oh, how'd you get that? It's like, hang on a minute. Hang on.
I worked really hard.
I would prefer you to say, oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you figure out who are your real friends when you get the reactions like that.
You know, maybe not, because it's ingrained in us.
Yeah,
it's an ingrained philosophy.
From the convict thing, because probably that long ago.
You know, I mean, you got to remember, Australia is only 200-odd years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you go into China or into Europe or into these other parts of the world, and you realize just how young Australia and America really are. Mm.
Yeah, totally, man. So are you going to move back to Australia ever, or are you here for good?
Oh, possibly. You know, my parents are getting older, and maybe I'll move back, hang with them for a little bit. But they
kind of have a house next door. You can have all your grandparents in the same street.
I've tried to convince them to move here, but my brothers are still there, and they've got other grandkids there and all their friends and stuff. So we're lucky. We get to travel down there every year. They come over here every year, and yeah, we get to spend a lot of time with them. So
you're constantly traveling, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's the life we like. Mm. We like being in different places. We enjoy being with the beach and all that stuff. And when our older kids head off to college in the next 2 years, they'll both be at college, and we think we'll travel school the younger kids for a few years and just take them to the world. And, you know, how do you learn about Egypt? Well, you go and see the pyramids. You actually go and see them, type thing.
Best way to do it.
Yeah, well, that, to me, travel schooling, like people say homeschooling. No, we don't want to homeschool them. We want to travel school, and we want them to go everywhere and see everything at an age where they're going to actually remember it and sort of know that stuff.
So you an Australian citizen still, or American citizen now?
It's both.
Dual citizenship.
And all my kids are now dual citizens. And now, so Laura, my wife, says, well, maybe we should go and live there for a couple of years so I can get Australian. So we've all got all of it.
Yeah, she hasn't got it, has she?
No, it's same as it's hard for me to get the American citizenship. It's still fairly hard for my wife to get Australian. We've still got to live there for a period of time.
It's a good gift to give your kids, though. Hey, guess what? You can go live in Australia if you
want. You got two passports, so you can go anywhere in the Commonwealth, plus anywhere America's accepted.
Like Bianca, my fiance, she's got a green card, and she's eventually going to get US citizenship. So, hello, getting married. Thank you very much. And she's also got a Greek passport because her dad's Greek. So yeah. We could go anywhere in the world. Well, eventually.
You know, I sit back and I look at the way the world is coming, it's getting smaller. It really is, because of the internet, TV,
such an
and
exciting
travel.
Time, isn't it? You just fly anywhere at the drop of a hat.
You can be anywhere in the world in 24 hours type thing, and it's so much fun. But, you know, that makes it both easier and harder. I think it's easier because we can get anywhere, but it's also harder because we see a lot more of the negative stuff, and, you know, the news doesn't report all the positive, it's just the negative, so...
What freaks you out about America, though? I mean, we talked about the shooting, obviously, in Vegas. Mm. The gun laws here are so messed up.
Yeah, look, the laws are not actually that bad, right? The laws for guns are not that bad. The philosophy around guns is where the challenge lies. You know, I've sat down with people over the years and sort of outlined a very simple step-by-step process, but... I mean, the biggest challenge with the gun laws here is that you don't have to be licensed to sell guns. Mm. So I just say treat it like a car. Mm. If you say that, you know, there's more deaths by cars than there are by guns, great, let's treat them the same. Mm. You know, it's crazy. The other day, there was another apparent death from a Juul, a vaping thing, you know, and so they're moving to outlaw vapes. And it's like, come on, you guys.
How did someone die from vaping?
I don't know. They blow up or something or whatever it is. But anyway, it's you sit there and... you know, from outside America, it's easy to be negative on America and its gun laws, but it's part of the philosophy of the country.
So you don't get involved in politics too much in Australia, but what about here in America?
You know, Trump is an interesting character. He's probably the best CEO America's had, but I'm not sure he's the greatest president. The way I try and explain Trump to people is, let's just do this. Let's give your dad or grandfather, you know, the 70-plus-year-old, you know, man... Let's give him a Twitter of 12 million followers and see how embarrassed you are with his opinions.
I'm embarrassed with my dad's Facebook now, let alone if he had that many followers.
You just sit there and you think about it. I mean, it's embarrassing. Now, is he a genius at playing the media? 100% he's a genius at playing the media. People say he's so stupid. No, he's playing the media 100%. And you see it time and time again.
Oh, he learned it with his show.
I mean, the guy is the master negotiator. This is a guy that built and constructed buildings in New York when the mafia and the mob actually were there running trash and running the construction, running the concrete. This is a guy that's negotiated everything. Now, that being said, is he starting to... Like, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but he is definitely toned down... a lot from when he first started.
He's behaving himself a little bit.
Well, I think he's got a better team around him that said, listen, if you're going to get reelected, you're actually going to have to...
But he did fire a lot of people.
Well, he fires a lot of people all the time, but, you know, that's quite public his nature. Too. But that's his nature. That's how he's always done things. You don't expect a leopard to change its spots. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, though, both President Obama and President Trump, neither of them were governors before becoming president. Mm. Now, almost all presidents before had been governors. Now, the reason I bring that up is because they had to learn to play both sides of the party. They didn't play divisive politics. Mm. They actually played that. And we've gone from politics to personality ticks. Mm. It's not about the policy anymore. It's you mention anything in politics and people are like, I hate that guy or I hate that gal.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hang on. What about their policies? And I remember for many years in Australia, I used to sit and have cigars with some of the heads of some of the biggest unions in Australia and then have dinner with the Liberals on the other side of it. But I could debate politics with them, policy, not people.
Mm.
And that's unfortunate where we've become all about the personality, not about the actual politics and what's best for the nation.
What about the Democrats? Are you a Bernie man or what about Biden? Do you think he's this bumbling old fool? What's the story?
You know, I would imagine the Democrats will pull a young person through.
Yeah.
I doubt. I mean, Bernie's just so far out there. His role is to be the way out there guy so that the next person doesn't look stupid. You know, it's that sort of role within the politics. I don't know. The world, we're seeing pendulum swings in politics at the moment. You know, it was George W. and Dick Cheney running the country, and then the pendulum swung massively to President Obama. Then it swung massively again to President Trump, and we're seeing the same in Australia, and we're seeing the same in the UK.
Brexit, yeah.
Everywhere's going crazy politically right now. So, but I again, I just try and get on with it.
People are scared to say their opinion, though. And it seems like the silent majority have the most votes.
Well, this is the thing. You know, you see it, fortunately or unfortunately, President Trump won the vote of the average worker.
Mm.
You know, Hillary and Bill Clinton are so out of touch with reality of the average citizen that there's no way she was going to win. Her campaign was all about her. His campaign, I look at it from a marketing perspective because I think that when you understand what marketing actually won it, you know, you look at Kevin 07, the hashtags are winning it these days. ScoMo, that hashtag is it's how the marketing happens is really important to understand. And Trump's Make America Great Again pulled at the heartstrings of all of that group of people. And it was just phenomenal.
Even the
marketing.
Ones that didn't think anything was wrong.
Yeah.
Let's make it great.
Let's go back to what it used to be. Yeah. And so pulled at all that. And I'm not sure you can do that this time around. Yeah. What's his slogan this time around is, I don't know, but it's not as good. It's so, I'm
make
not
America,
sure.
Keep America great.
Yeah, keep America
great. Yeah, I made great, it great now. I'm just going to keep it great. Know.
But these are the things that we see. And here's what happens politically, though, on a global scale. All you in Australia see on your news is the 2-minute soundbite of the stupid thing Trump did today, not the good stuff. Like in the first 100 days in office, I'm sure none of you saw that he met with the leaders of every industry over the first 100 days in office. He had all the leaders of the automobile industry in the White House, all of the leaders of female business, all of the movie industry leaders, all of the leaders of every industry came into the White House and met with him for a day. And you sit there, and I'm sure that was never reported
CNN
anywhere.
CNN aren't going to report that.
No, they're not going to report that these are the great things that have happened. They're not going to report the reductions in crime. They're not going to report that right now, like for me, becoming a citizen took twice as long because right now here in America, everyone that's been here illegally is now actually applying to become a citizen. And so the backup is massive because they're just overwhelmed with all these people that should have done it before. And now they're actually doing it. I mean, it's so we don't see all the positives reported. We only see negatives reported. And the same with Australia. People, Australians come to America and ask me, well, what does Americans think of Australian politics? They don't. They never see anything.
Australia does get pretty caught up with American politics. Anyway, enough about politics.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about success, and we've been talking about everything.
We're sitting in the wine cellar. We should have talked wine today.
How good is this wine cellar? This is the best wine cellar I've ever been in. How many wines have you got here? You've even got computer catalog systems. You've got Australian wines. You've got French wines. You've got Japanese sake over there. You love your wines.
Yeah, we do love our wines. You know, in Australia, I was lucky enough, we lived in Adelaide in the renaissance of the wine industry when the Barossa and the Clare became a thing when I was a kid, and my dad would go up there all the time, and us kids had to just drag along. But I do love our wine, and the Napa Valley here, you know, Napa is just one of the most beautiful parts of America and the Sonoma region. So, yeah, we get up there every year and just enjoy ourselves and There's some great wineries.
You could so do a wine show in here. It'd be amazing. So your book, Pulling Profits Out of a Hat, is available now. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. Is that it?
Wall Street, all that. I'm going to the UK next week. Hopefully I'll get it on the UK bestseller lists when I'm there next week. And it comes out on audiobook next week as well. So people can get it all over the world. Jump on Amazon.
And isn't that easy? Can you just pull profits out of a hat, Brad Sugars?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what I do. So, you know.
So when you're looking for a business to buy, do you just look for ones that you can fill in the holes and you realize that they're doing something wrong? Or?
I used to. So my book, Billionaire in Training, went into what I look for when I'm buying a business. Nowadays, what I mostly look for is a very good core business structure with great systems and marketing and stuff that just isn't, they just don't think globally.
Right. Something you can take on a global scale.
Yeah, I think globally all the time. So,
what do you think is a good business to invest in at the moment? Like the fake meat business seems to be growing exponentially. The CBD oil industry is going
nuts. Yeah, look, you know, those sorts of things. And you'll always get those new ideas that sort of shoot through the unicorns and that sort of stuff. I'm still a firm believer in basics. You know,
You see, you had a cleaning business, a real estate business.
We're looking at one
Everyone's
right now.
Everyone's looking at the glamorous stuff.
Oh, look, everyone looks for the glamour. But I live here in Vegas, and one of our best companies is Zappos. And Zappos is in the shoe business. Why? Because everyone buys them, everyone needs them. You know, you just find a better way of doing what's already done. We're looking at a pest control business right now. Why? You can't compete with us on the internet. You can't have pest control on the internet. Someone actually has to come to your house and spray for the bugs and do all that sort of stuff. So I'm still a firm believer in all those basic businesses that people buy every day and they have a budget for it. They know they need it. They know they want it. So that to me is where a lot of money is still made today. If you look at the biggest companies in the world, there's the Apple and all of these that are the technology giants. But again, they're unicorns. They're one in a million type thing. The day-to-day, if you read the book, The Millionaire Next Door, which is probably 15-odd years old now, it went into that most millionaires have boring, normal businesses. Mm-hmm. They're not glamour businesses. They're just normal businesses. And you know, that, to me, is where we still focus our business.
Everyone wants to be a rock star.
Well, yeah. You know, it's like Mike Tyson said, everyone wants to be a boxer. Everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face type thing. It's like, you know, we sit here in a city where all the biggest boxing matches are, the biggest UFC fights are, and you know, I still, our restaurant down at the Wynn, it's still people like food and drink. People like those normal things.
So you had Tyson and you met your mates with Penn and Teller. And so what other celebs have you got hanging out in your restaurant in Vegas?
Or have you
met up with here?
All the celebrities. Like the other night, my buddy's, he's one of the Backstreet Boys. And so it's like.
What? Which one?
Brian. But, you know, you sit there and you just look at it. I got buddies that are big country music stars and all those sorts of things. And they're just normal people, but. You know, we live in a city where that is just normal. You in L.A., I mean, you walk into a restaurant in L.A. and there's going to be a famous movie actor sitting in the restaurant. There just is.
Amongst all the Australians. And they're like, Mark, what are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah. So there's all the Australians and a couple of famous Americans. But
well, you're off to the basketball now, so I better let you go.
Yeah, the WNBA. MGM bought a WNBA franchise, and hopefully we get an NBA franchise. They're in the finals, so the Las Vegas Aces doing well. With our good Aussie girl, Liz Cambage, is our center. So...
Wow,
she's doing phenomenally well right now. There's an Aussie girl absolutely crushing it. Just featured in ESPN's The Body Issue. So,
yeah,
6'8" girl who's doing amazing things.
She's good fun.
Representing Australia very well.
Yeah, the girls did really well. The Australian basketball team did brilliantly at the Commonwealth Games. I got to speak to her backstage after they won. They were pretty ecstatic. But basketball's coming in leaps and bounds in Australia.
Yeah.
And she's one of the best. So that'll be fun. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, mate. Good to have you in Vegas.
Really
good to have you visiting.
Yeah, thanks, man. I might stay for a while. Is that all right? In this wine cellar. I may not leave.
I think Bianca will drag you out of here at some point.
Brad Sugars, thank you very much. Thanks for being on the mic. And don't forget to go out and buy his book, the latest one, Pulling Profits Out of a Hat.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.